You probably heard of him, one of the great philosophers today. He says, to read great literature is to read men, their fears and motives, their needs and hopes. Every great novelist is a mention canon, knows people, who opens the hearts to others to us and helps us read our own hearts as well. The question is sometimes asked, why teach the Holocaust? The answer is given, I say, by Pascal, the philosopher, who once wrote, without tragedy, man loses his dignity of a deposed king. Without knowing the tragedy of the Jewish people, the Jew is incapable of knowing the heroics of Jewish life. Last night I was telling them, the teachers, teaching the Holocaust should be the second step, not the first. The first step is Jewish heroism. Jewish heroism, Jewish survival, from what? Then you come to the Holocaust. But you don't start, you see, with Jewish tragedy and frighten kids mm-hmm. out of their wits. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't think we have to be very careful in teaching the Holocaust to elementary school children.
There was a study in Israel that said that before that eighth grade, it's really not...
Right.
It's
absolutely
not really relevant.
Absolutely.
Or maybe not that it's not relevant, it's not appropriate.
You frighten them, you see, out of their wits, because you cannot develop something else. You have to begin, all Jewish history has to begin, you see, with survival, with heroism, with hope, you see, with a little happiness, you see. Then we show our problems, but we survive. This is the point. Now, I'm going to finish in a minute. Here comes the whole problem. You know, there is a wide gap between the ideal and real. So I want all those things, but I have two problems. The first problem I have is, where was it written? What can I put in the hands, either of children or teachers? Secondly, the problem is the lack of teachers and knowledge. They don't have the faintest conception of what we're talking about, because they had never been taught. You see, even in teaching the Hebrew language, you see, I'm totally revolutionary. I don't think the way you cannot entrust Israelis to teach the Hebrew language. Do you know why? For a simple reason. They think that the most important thing is to make children speak Hebrew. You see, speaking is again a byproduct, but first has to be comprehension. You be able to read, to understand. You see, they drill words, drill. And you see, it used to be another problem. A kid made a mistake. So the teacher would start repeating the mistake. The teacher repeated five times the mistake and one time the correct. The kids learned the mistake. You get the point?
Yeah.
You see, the struggle that I have here, and thank God I'm going to get rid of it in another week, you see, is this, I mean, I want you to understand what I'm saying. In New York City, for a long time, they wouldn't employ native French teachers to teach French in school. Why? because the native Frenchman is going to emphasize something which the American doesn't need. He can spend a week on how to say we through the nose. You see. Or drilling a vocabulary which will never be used. Because the person who comes from the country where the language is spoken has different values.
The language reflects your values.
That's right. Now you say the same thing with Hebrew. What is our concern? Our concern is to create what I say here. Look, here is, I lay down a principle of our school. Now, the overall objective, the most important overall objective at Sages is to provide young adults with rich educational experiences that will help them to become committed literate Jews. Now, somebody put that word committed in, I don't know, I would take it out, but literate Jews. By literate, I mean who possess a command of fundamental intellectual, cultural, religious, and historical development of the Jewish people. It's literacy I'm concerned with. I'm not concerned with scholarship. I'm not concerned of making them Orthodox Jews, conservative Jews, Reform Jews, historical Jews, or hysterical Jews. I'm not concerned with these political movements. These are political movements in Jewish life. We don't try to teach in the public school kids to become Democrats or Republicans. Now, I want you, everyone who's in education should read some of the lectures given by Horace Mann when he was fighting to create, you know, to abolish in New England the religious schools and create the common public school. We should read it because we are exactly in the same situation. My father can beat your father, and my rabbi is better than your rabbi. You get a point. With that all comes chauvinism. Now, the point is that you have to create a teacher. Now, how do you do it? Now, I am doing it in a very simple way. I am not telling you that whatever I'm telling you, don't misinterpret me that I have succeeded or we have succeeded. I'm not saying that. But you have to have an objective. And furthermore, you have to move along. Now, for example, I wrote a book, it's a real book, of teaching tradition, how to teach tradition, where is it? The green, here, underneath, on the shirt. Teaching tradition to young people is still the way. Now, I gave them to read, they had to read that.
Teachers.
Yes, I had 12 people. They come every second week at 20 hours, and we give them incentive pay. I got a grant from somebody at Federation. I got a grant, and I give them. They're wonderful people, very devoted people. Most of them very orthodox, and that's perfectly fine with me. I'm not afraid of orthodoxy as a belief. I'm afraid of the orthodox as a person. And so are the others. Now, I get into it. Now, I take up here certain ideas. For example, Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? How do you teach Hanukkah? And I show them here in the book that the conception of Hanukkah, the miracle of light, is nonsense, absolute nonsense historically. And Chanukah doesn't mean that light is over. But I gave them sources in the Talmud, all through the literature. So the Orthodox people cannot say to me that I belong to it of Sholem. Then, why did I do it? Why did I say, I wrote on Chanukah here several books. I have on Chanukah here and here. This is a book, you take it up, pick it up. One of the leading anthropologists wrote me a letter and said that this is a masterpiece. That's what he said. I have a special book on it and another book on it. Now, because I walked into the classroom and I heard what they were doing, was repeating the nonsense that they did, you know, the earth and the weather. Then we have another problem, occasionally, not very serious. Kids come, let's say, from Hillel Academy, they're coming from the Babichel, or they're coming even from the conservative schools, which are really not conservative, but Orthodox. And they don't do the word God, Hashem. Hashem is name. And then kids will write compositions in our school, G-D. Now why do you insult God and take out the word, a letter from his name? I said, I would be very much insulted if somebody takes out one S from my name. The answer is piety. Now, I don't mind it. I'm not going to tell a kid don't do it. It's not my business. But when a kid says that you're committing a sin, if you use the word God or Elohim and Hebrew, then I have a job. So, I, as a result of classroom experience, we had another situation, for example, the old question of Kaddish. You see, the question of Yahrzeit in Yisrael. What are these traditions? And then I got myself involved with one of the professors of Carnegie Mellon wrote me a letter, and I think he wrote it also to Freehoff and somebody else, and on the question of the place of women in religious service. Now, that developed. You know, this man was a professor at Carnegie Mellon, but he has kids in our school. And then his wife came in with questions, and I had others, you see, and whatnot. And again, one mother became furious at me when I protested that the Shalom doesn't permit girls to read Hebrew prayers. Cousin walks off the pulpit and a girl is told them. I mean, they're Mishigoyim, they're absolutely idiots. And you see, and they're talking the name of tradition. And it's bunk. They don't know what I'm talking about. So.
And more of those things turn people off than the substance. That's what's so frustrating. They get caught up in all that, and they say, if all that's trivia is part of the religion, mm-hmm. then they think that's the religion, and they just throw everything, they don't even know the Torah,
right.
And they throw everything.
But you see, the truth of the matter is, it is not even Jewish religion.
I know.
And this is what I'm trying to develop here. You see, I developed it here. And I told them, you don't have to accept anything I say, but there's one thing I want you to check on me. The sources that I use, whether I'm authentic or not, you wouldn't find one mistake. Well, you know, it took me. I gave them to read it. There were quite a number of Orthodox women there. And then I said, what can I do? I didn't lecture. They came in, they had 2 hours. I said, you tell me how you would introduce which concepts, which ideas in the classroom, how would you introduce them? And each one talked. We were very happy. And the point was to see that from that grew up a consensus. I had it 2 weeks in succession, and it grew. We had a consensus last night. And even the most orthodox, she said to me, the way they explained it, I said, you're right. That's the way I want it. So the new kind of idea did it all. Now, here, I want to share something. This will be an opening, my opening lecture.
Because you said you helped teachers form a philosophy.
This is here. You know, we established the Amos Comey report, because he gave me the money.
Educational enrichment
series. Yes, the teacher enrichment series. I said when the title of the Amos Comey seminars were announced, I was asked two questions. Since many challenges threatened Jewish existence in the 1980s, which challenge would I consider to be of primary importance at this period of history? Second, what would be the content of the cultural educational programs that could act as effective deterrent to the most critical challenge? Now, the reason I read this is because of the next sentence was said. In my reply to the first question, I suggested that the loss of a conscious awareness of the concept of peoplehood is a corrosive negative force currently affecting the strength and quality of Jewish life. If we are not preparing Jewish children to be scholars, which we can't, if we cannot load them up with the kind of learning which, let's say, our ancestors were able to do, then where do we go? We begin with placing them in the heart of the Jewish. They are, and this is the whole concept of the people who have gone through development in Jewish history in various centuries and today.
It's the heart of the Jewish people.
You say, now when if the problem of assimilation is, you see, when the fellow comes in and tells her he wants to marry a Christian girl because he's in love with her, then the logic is on his side. He's in love. What do you want? Well, is there a better logic than love?
Lots of better logic.
Among Jews, definitely not. Jewish mothers are afraid to implement their children in case, God forbid, they wouldn't love them when they get older. You say, and this is incidentally an American curse. Americans want to be loved. You go to Europe, you hate Nixon, but if somebody else says a word against Nixon, they want to kill him. You say, you got to be loved. We want to be loved in our youth. See, that's the point. You say it's an American. The European hasn't got this concept. The American has it. The Jew is double. Anything anybody else, to be a Jew is to be like anybody else and a little bit more. You see. Right. You see, if we stop dividing ourselves, I wouldn't say it's all right if we divide ourselves. I have no objection to it. But if we stop trying to make an education, the objective of education to prepare him as a conservative Jew, or as this Mr. Jacobs over there in the Rosh Hashanah wants him to be a reformed Jew, and is scared to death. He wants to kill Sajis all these years. We are making him conservative Jews. We don't make him conservative. I don't give a damn if they're conservative or not, you see. You see, or the Orthodox is a different story entirely. You see, Orthodoxy is a completely different thing. You see, and I developed this whole concept in here, the difference between I call them the strict traditionalist and the modern tradition. I mean, they believe that truth is on their side. You see, and you haven't got the truth if you're not on their side. But that's all right. I mean, yeah, I have no objection if it is like that, you see. But you see, I can't accept it. But I can't accept it. That's the point, you see. Now, if we stop in education trying to make them conservative Jews, members in synagogues, you see, all form. I'm not talking about Orthodoxy because they are people apart. They don't recognize us as Jews altogether. Don't fool yourself. You see, for the sake of money, you see that they'll tell you that they love you, but they don't. They can't accept you. See, we have the same thing in the general population. We have the varieties to that extent. So why worry about it? But I'm saying it. The majority, they're not the majority in the world, they're not the majority in America. But they have the power, they have power. So, it would be enough to give a human being, a Jew, a feeling that he belongs to a people. The people has a history, has a religion, has a culture, has a civilization. Now, and then if you could be at home, a little bit at home, in these areas, and that is what I call it, the literate persons at home, you see, then we have won something. Then we have a platform on which to teach. Then, you say so, I had to go, and people would, I had to go to Torah. Because they don't know what Torah is. And I took as a basis that Torah is a three-dimensional culture. And it's Kaplan's definition, and he goes into it and explains it. All right? And then, of course, from here we go to other areas. So you see why. Now there's another thing. I want to show you this number. I wrote this: "The Fate of the Jew in the European Society: Theological Negations of the Jewish People." We have a problem with anti-Semitism. Last night, Pat was teaching this book to our seniors section. And these kids were shocked. They didn't believe it. The theory here is using here mostly Catholic and Protestant sources, historical sources, showing, tracing anti-Semitism to the church. And these kids were shocked. They didn't believe. They didn't believe that there is such a thing in the church, being as anti-Semitic. So I told her the next step I want you to do is pick out here, take the Crusades. And because they're studying in school of the Crusade, the Holy Crusade, tell them what we know about the Crusades. Now, you see, I'm taking, when I come back, and we have our second series of seminars, I'm going to take this with the teachers, and I'm going to take here these students. Well, this was my this is my lecture that gave Federation they gave me the evening. They wanted me to give that, and I developed that further. And this is a marvelous little book. This is published in Israel. By the Israel Economist
I have that at home.
Well, this booklet makes a great impression to young kids in our school who, if you don't get off the track, you see. And now with this one here develops differences. They wanted about cults. Now in this one here, it can be used in cults or cults or anything, because here I am dealing with basic differences, such as the question of the what I call the Weltanschauung, the two different Weltanschauungs. It's not a question of Christ, and it's not a question of Jesus, and it's not a question. It's Judaism and Christianity, two contrasting worldviews. The attitude, for example, of the question of faith and belief, the question of salvation, the question of messianism, the idea of sin, you see. I mean, how different we are philosophically and religiously and everything else. And why Jews particularly, why Jews couldn't accept Christ in the Second Commonwealth, and why we can't accept him today, you see. So, I give, again, it's historical sources. Now, you cannot accept, you cannot. Now, I want to show you this, aesthetics of the sounds. You know why I wrote this? You ever see it?
Yeah, I taught it when I was still at Texas.
Well,
we used it to be in the beginning of each period.
You see, I was lecturing many, many years ago at Cornell. I had a large group of kids. A girl gets up after I'm finished. She says, I want to ask you a question. We're talking about Jewish contribution to civilization. That's the subject they're selected for me. I don't know one great book that Jews have written which made an impact on civilization. Why is it that the book which is most popular in all religions, the Book of Psalms, wasn't written by Jews? Beautiful girl. So beautiful. I'll never forget her. And I was shocked. I says, how do you know? I says, it's always in the church. She was a Jewish girl. He says, you know, they recite it. She says, so who wrote it? I said, my dear, it's Jews. I don't know. One day, I was watching television, and I saw an interview that they had with Richard Burton. You know Burton? Mm-hmm. You're worldly, I said. You ever see that interview?
No, I was just thinking whether you consider Elizabeth Taylor a Jew.
I was wondering. It doesn't bother me. Look, I want
to. Can you learn to be, I guess my question is, can you learn to be a Jew, you know, with this idea of peoplehood and religion? Do you believe that a person trained can become a Jew?
You can. There's no reason why you can't. My father was a rabbi, never accepted a convert. He would say, why should I take a dead Christian and make him a dead Jew? He said, go to others. Some have faith. There are two attitudes in the Talmud regarding converts. One attitude is against, and that would be they have a lot of trouble with converts. The second convert says that a convert is a difficult Jewish people with skin disease. But it was one opinion. On the other hand, there are many opinions that God loved the convert more than the native to the born Jew, because he accepted Judaism upon conviction. They didn't know it because it's done with the girl.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I say to the boy, on the other hand, you say, You can. But you see, you raised a point that's interesting. You can accept people here. You can. But it's going to be different. Individually, yes, not collectively.
You mean there are exceptions, people who can join the peoplehood?
That's right. Yes. You say you can adopt. You can adopt like a citizenship. And they can be more, they probably would be more pious and more observant than other Jews, you see. But the point is this. Look, do you live in San Francisco?
I live there.
You live there. Were you in Chinatown?
All the time, yes. I live there.
I,